Today on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub.
The Holy Spirit has better interest for your life than you even have for your own. And if you submit to the Holy Spirit, what you're saying is, God, I don't care where you take me, what you have me do, where you lead me, what you say, I will do what you want me to do because I know for fact you have my highest and best. And by living this way, other people will see your light in me and you will get more glory. Therefore, I want to do what you want me to do.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. In church, the word submission is usually tied to conversations about marriage, masculinity, and femininity. And unfortunately for many believers, that doesn't always sound like a good thing. But on today's edition of Brave, Pastor Jeff shares a unique message about submission for the whole church. Get ready for a fresh take on an old truth for both men and women of faith. As we continue our current series in the book of 1 Peter called Christians in Crisis. And if you'd like to listen to any of these daily messages again, visit bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with the start of a message titled, Benefits of Submission.
As we get ready to hear God's word, let's pray, let's seek, and let's hear what God has to say directly to our hearts. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise today. And Lord, we ask that as we're ready to open up your word this morning, that you would speak directly to us. Lord, we thank you for your living and active word, which tells us exactly who you are and how we are to respond to you. And Lord, for what you're going to do and for how you're going to do it, we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now all God's people who are ready to hear him speak directly to them agreed by saying with me, amen, amen. Last week, we had nearly 100 people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior in our services, which we are praising God for. And every time that happens, it never gets old for me because every time somebody comes to know who Jesus is, life is changed for eternity, not just in a moment. Life is changed in a moment for eternity. So we're talking about a whole different destiny for everybody who responds to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The question then becomes, how shall we live? Because the Bible makes clear that when Jesus is Lord, we're no longer Lord of our life, that he's in control. So the question becomes, how shall I live? And then what are the benefits to living the way that God wants me to live? Are there any benefits to that? And what we find in the Bible is that many times the things that we read about now as believers that God wants us to do are counterintuitive. They go against the grain of what our flesh would say that we should be living like. It goes against what we would want to do in our natural state. And yet, because we're submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we want to reorient our lives so we're living the way that he would want. And so if you have your Bibles, I encourage you this morning to open up to the book of 1 Peter. We're going to begin in chapter 2, verse 11. We're actually going to finish the entire chapter because it's giving us an entire thought block of what he tells us that we need to be doing. And as we look at this today, there's really four areas that God is going to call us to submit and what the benefits of that is. That's right, I said the word submit. Today we're going to talk about submission. When I say the word submission in church, it's almost like a four-letter word that I'm saying from the pulpit to Christians. That's how it feels to many people. And if you're a lady here today, when you hear that word, it almost is a double swear word for you. Because oftentimes when we talk about submission in the church, we talk about it as we're going to put you down, you're less than, let people trample on you, let people walk all over you because you're worthless. And that's not what submission is. And we're going to take a look at what submission is and how God wants us, whether we're male or female, to submit, who we're called to submit to, and then listen to this, what the benefits are for submission. This is a message for those who know Jesus Christ personally and for those who want to walk in his ways. And so if you have your Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll go through each of these four sections one at a time, and here's the first one, verses 11 and 12. He says this, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." This is his first thought on submission, who we are to submit to, and what the benefits of this submission are. And the first one is this: submission to the Holy Spirit glorifies God. Submission to the Holy Spirit glorifies God. Now notice how Peter writes this. He writes, beloved. He writes, beloved. Now, if we were listening to John, we would see that about every other verse. Beloved, beloved, beloved. This is Peter we're talking about. Peter's a blue-collar fisherman. Peter doesn't really use the words beloved. But what you're hearing in his heart is before he's ready to address what believers are supposed to live like, here's what he's calling us. Beloved of God, chosen ones. He spent the first part of this book talking about this great salvation we share and the living hope and the living word that now dwells in us. And because of that, hey, beloved, here's what you're called to do. Submit to the Holy Spirit, because this glorifies God. He says, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul. Now, there's those words, aliens and strangers. Aliens simply means this, that you don't belong here. This is foreign soil for the believer. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you're part of a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And this is a temporary place for you. That's what a stranger means. You're temporarily going to be here. So for the time that you're here, this temporary time on foreign soil, there's a new way to live. This new way to live is in submission to the Holy Spirit, right? Because it glorifies God, being submitted to the Holy Spirit. Why? He asks us this, to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. I wish I could tell you that if last week you trusted Jesus Christ, that all the temptation would leave you, that that would all be gone and you'll just live for God every day of your life. I'll tell you this, if Christ is in you, you will still be tempted. And you will be tempted until the day you die. Here's the difference now. As a believer, you no longer have to submit to the temptation that you once submitted to. You no longer have to give in. You can submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and do what the Holy Spirit wants. Why? Because the fleshy lusts that you have, all those things in you that say, that still rise up and say, I want my life to still be about me. I want to please me. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. All those things are damaging to your soul. Here's what it means. It means now that you're a believer, you need to listen to what the Holy Spirit shows you about your life. And I can tell you, whether you're a brand new newbie Christian or whether you've been walking with the Lord for 30 plus years, the Holy Spirit still has a way of showing you areas that you're not fully submitted to Him. It never ends. It never ends. And so what you will begin to hear if you read your Bible as a believer, the Holy Spirit will show you things that He never showed you before. Behaviors that you're not going to, He doesn't want you to engage in anymore, that were just kind of natural behaviors. As a matter of fact, behaviors that everybody else is engaging in, but for you, that's no longer a behavior He wants you to engage in. He may ask you to forgive somebody that you think is unforgivable, which is why He asked you to forgive them in the first place. He may ask you to change the way that you steward your financial resources. He may ask you to change your circle of friends. He may ask you to change how you're going to live and what you're going to do. And here's the thing. When you hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, don't make it for debate. No, just be obedient, because to be submitted means I'm letting you lead me. Submission involves trust. Submission involves, if this is what the Holy Spirit wants me to do, that's of best interest to me. It will be for my good and it will bring God the most glory. So even though these things oftentimes will be uncomfortable, when the Holy Spirit shows me what to do, therefore I need to do them. I wish somebody would have told me this when I first became a believer. I started reading the Bible. I remember when I first got saved, I read the book of James, like just those five chapters like that. And I was like, the Bible makes sense. I'd memorized verses, I knew stuff, but as God started speaking to me, I'm like, this is so clear, it's so easy to understand now. But what I didn't understand is the more I started studying the Bible, God was showing me all these things in my life that prior to knowing Him, I had lived apart from Him, and He started asking me to change. And over time, I got sick and tired of reading my Bible, because every time I opened it, I thought I was getting beat up. I wasn't getting beat up. It was the Holy Spirit showing me that I was to live a holy life that looked just like Jesus. And so He was showing me areas of my life that I needed to change. But instead of somebody coming along inside and saying, that's a good thing, I was like, I'm done with this. I would close my Bible. I didn't like reading the Bible that much anymore. Too much conviction. And here's what happens. That never, ever goes away. It never goes away. And the reason God wants us to do this is because those fleshly desires, they do damage to our soul, if not even to our bodies. So this is why he says in verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. The Gentiles were ones who did not know Christ. So that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, there may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. He's saying, hey, listen, you're a witness among those who don't believe who Jesus is. And so keep your behavior excellent. Keeping your behavior excellent is not about becoming a Christian and then you deciding what good behaviors you're going to do. Keeping your behavior excellent among the Gentiles means, God, I am submitting the entirety of my life to you. And whatever you want me to do or not do or start doing differently, these are the very things that I'm choosing to do because I want to bring you the most glory in light of other people and when they see me. That's what it means. And most Christians don't live that way. Many Christians believe, now that I'm a Christian, now that I know I'm going to heaven, my pastor told me no matter what I do, I can't screw this thing up, which is correct. Therefore, I'll live however I want to live. But then they find out that their life isn't going so well. And their joy for Jesus is gone. And they're not really maturing. And they're not really growing in this process of sanctification. Listen, when you trusted Jesus as the Lord of your life, it means he's in control and he's deposited the third person of the Trinity into your heart, the Holy Spirit, which is why when you read the Bible or if you go out and engage in a behavior you used to engage in, you'll sense this inside of your conscience. Don't go with them. Stop. Don't date him. Don't date her. Do this. Start. You'll know and it won't go away. And when you know that and it aligns with God's word, you must be obedient. Because it brings God glory for other people to see you living in a way that's contrary to how the rest of the world lives. Be submissive to the Holy Spirit. It means this. When I'm submissive, when I'm placing myself under the care of the Holy Spirit, I'm trusting him for what he wants to accomplish, which means this. I am no longer controlling the outcome. Submission replaces control. The reason we do not like to submit is because we have a desired outcome and a preferred future. And if we submit, what we're saying is, I don't get to choose what the outcome's going to look like. But here's the truth. The Holy Spirit has better interest for your life than you even have for your own. And if you submit to the Holy Spirit, what you're saying is, God, I don't care where you take me, what you have me do, where you lead me, what you say, I will do what you want me to do because I know for fact you have my highest and best. And by living this way, other people will see your light in me and you will get more glory. Therefore, I want to do what you want me to do. That should be our normal posture all the time. However, for many Christians, they believe that's for like the super spiritual kind of Christians. Like if you've been a believer 30 plus years, then you should start living like that. But I'm kind of new. I'm in my first 20 years. I'm just getting my feet wet. No, if you've been a believer for 5 minutes, this is the calling on your life for how you're called to live. You answer to God for how he's leading you. Now, if you haven't heard the Holy Spirit in your life, there's two reasons you haven't. Either number one, you're not saved, so you're not hearing him on a regular basis. Or number two, you're not walking in alignment with the Lord. If you're saved and walk in alignment with the Lord, you will hear the Holy Spirit when he wants to tell you what he wants to tell you. And that doesn't mean you wake up and every 5 seconds, every day, Holy Spirit told me, Holy Spirit told me, Holy Spirit. That's weird, right? I'm talking about if you're aligning your life with God, saying, God, I really do want what you want, and Lord, show me what to do. The Lord has a way through his word, through people, through circumstances of directing you in such a way that you'll know, this is what the Lord has for my life. And I don't need to ask anybody else what they think because this aligns with his word. It means this, you have a new identity. The old is gone, the new has come. And that's why this. Oftentimes in church, we talk about behavioral modification a lot. We don't from this pulpit because that doesn't work, right? But a lot of times in church, you'll think, just say no to this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't touch, don't handle, don't taste, don't. It doesn't work. And I believe it was in 1984, Nancy Reagan, who was President Ronald Reagan's wife, came out with the Just Say No campaign. Do you remember this? That was going to end drug use in our country. Tell me, how well has that worked for us? Has the drug problem gone away? You can't just say no. Your yes has to be larger than whatever it is that you're saying no to, which means this. I have to say yes to the Holy Spirit all the time. If I'm saying yes to him, then these other little things that he's asking me to relinquish or start or stop or start doing differently become very easy. Now, they may not be fun. They may not be things that I want to do. And I would tell you this, oftentimes in my growth in holiness, many times in my growth in holiness, the very thing that the Holy Spirit is asking me to do goes contrary to everything that I enjoy and everything that I think is best. But I will tell you this, every time that I've submitted to the Holy Spirit, over time I find that's what I should have been doing all along. The Holy Spirit is only leading you into the things of God so that Jesus can be more prominent in your life. Are you submitted to the Holy Spirit? See, the benefit is it glorifies God. And notice what else he says. He says that they may observe your good deeds. This is the pagans, the people that don't believe in Jesus. And as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, what's the day of visitation? Right? The day of visitation really means as the Lord draws near. And the Lord draws near in grace and the Lord draws near in judgment, which means this. If you live your life for Jesus, as the Lord draws near to people that he's saving, he will remind them of their experience with you and what it looked like to be a Christian as he saves them. I mean, just think about this biblically. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen stood up in front of the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling council of the day, and called them stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and how they killed the very Messiah that had been promised for all the years to come. But don't worry, he rose from the dead, and he's willing to forgive you if you submit to him. They didn't like the message, so they threw him over a cliff to stone him. As they were stoning him, there was a young man there named Saul. As Saul was watching, he was giving approval as Stephen was being bludgeoned by all these stones that were killing him. As Stephen was getting stoned, he looked up and said, "I see the Lord," and asked the Lord to forgive those who were stoning him. Do you think that stayed in Saul's mind for a while? It sure did, because when he got knocked to the ground on his way to Damascus, when he was on his way to persecute Christians, the Lord showed up to him and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And certainly in that moment, he remembered Stephen, who he had given approval to, and how Stephen went willingly to his death knowing that same Lord. And it's interesting because in that moment, he would have had to think about all the suffering that Stephen did as he died for the Lord, and God was giving him a foretaste. He's like, "You thought that was suffering? Wait till you see what I have for you," right? That's how God works in the lives of believers when believers are submitted to the Holy Spirit, because even in death, God uses a Christian's witness to glorify himself, right? But how about in judgment too? Jesus Christ is coming back to planet Earth real soon. We don't know when. We don't make predictions because God tells us not to, but it's soon. I mean, just look at the world. He's coming back soon. When he comes, for all those who don't know him, he's coming back in the day of visitation. And on that day, when people see the Lord immediately and bow to their feet and claim that he's the Lord, there's going to be reminders in their mind all the time. Yeah, that guy I worked with. Yeah, that pastor. Yeah, that person that went to that church. Yeah, well, I had every opportunity to trust Jesus and I didn't. You're a witness to the Gentiles. You're a witness to people who don't know Jesus. The reason you want to be submitted to the Holy Spirit and continually grow in your submission to the Holy Spirit is because when you do, other people see that Jesus Christ is alive and God gets more glory. Amen? It's the same thing Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, right when he got done talking about being salt and light. He said this, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Well, where do these good works come from? You couldn't do any good works before you were saved, so where do they come from? Good works come from the Holy Spirit doing a good work in and through you. That when people see you post-conversion, they might say, "I knew them before they were saved, and I know them now, and obviously there's a different thing, idea, force controlling them." And we say it's not a force, it's God. It's the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity that is doing good works in and through me. Now listen. If I started this message saying, "Hey, it's four benefits of what I'm going to tell you today. One is to glorify God." Who wants to glorify God more? Everybody, "Oh, yeah, yeah." All right, submit to the Holy Spirit in everything. That means he gets to decide where you live, who you date, who you marry, how many kids, what you're going to do next, what the next step. He gets to choose it all. "Well, I don't want to choose it all." Yes, you do. The enemy lies to you and says, if you submit to the Holy Spirit, he's gonna take away all your fun. You're never gonna have friends. You're never gonna enjoy life. You're gonna lose this. You're gonna lose that. No, no. If you submit to the Holy Spirit, you will have the most full, robust, rewarding life. And it doesn't take away trials and it doesn't take away pain, but what it does do is fill you with incredible joy on the inside, knowing that you're bringing God the most glory. Amen? Amen. Submission, isn't it great? All right, submission to the Holy Spirit glorifies God. Notice what he says next. You're gonna love this one. Submission to civil authority silences the critic. Submission to civil authority silences the critic. Notice what God says. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Do you see that in your Bible? I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. It doesn't say to the institutions that you deem worthy that are Christian. No. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake. So what's the motivation? I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this because I want to. I'm not doing this because I agree with every decision they're making. I am for the Lord's sake and for his reputation, submitting myself to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Submit to all civil authority. How do you like that one? Now, you might think our political system's messed up, okay? Go back and study the first century. I mean, if the Caesar was walking down the road and you didn't say, Hail Caesar, you could lose your head. If you said, Jesus is Lord, you would lose your head. Caesar is Lord. He's not just the leader, he's God, right? That was the system that they lived in. And in that system, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, here's what Peter says, submit to every human institution. Submit. Let them lead. Now, how can I let a government system that I know is broken lead? Because I'm entrusted to one higher than that government system. I'm entrusted to the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit in me, which for the Lord's sake, I am submitting to. Now, let's bring it back to modern day politics. How many know there's at least two different parties there's more than two, but two main parties in our political system? And how many know that the longer you live, the more polarized they're becoming? I mean, in my lifetime, we've had different presidents that have served very, very differently. There's no possible way that in your flesh, you could love every decision that every president has made in your lifetime. It's impossible. Why do we submit? Because Jesus Christ asks us to. Because we're part of a higher kingdom and we have a higher calling. Therefore, we're called to submit. Now, this isn't the only place it says this in your Bible. If you flip back to Romans chapter 13, verse 1, you can read what Paul said about the exact same thing. We're familiar with Romans 12, not being conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, and we love that. But how about Romans chapter 13, verse 1? It says this, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Every governing authority, God's the one who has established that. God is the one, whether you realize it or not, who put those leaders in place. Therefore, submit to him. Now, I get it. We're all attorneys here. I don't have to, because that goes against God. We're going to get there. But listen to what he says in verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed themselves will receive condemnation upon themselves. Right? We are called as Christians to submit to all governing authorities. That's what we're called to do.
Be sure to catch the next part of this lesson when Pastor Jeff examines the biblical exceptions to this weighty rule. You're listening to Brave with Pastor Jeff Swarzentraub and the start of a three-part message called Benefits of Submission. Today's lesson comes from our current study in the book of 1 Peter called Christians in Crisis. And if you'd like to catch up on previous lessons from this series, you can do that anytime at bravemedia.online. If you're one of our regular listeners and you value these Brave Bible lessons, we invite you to join us in our efforts to share these gospel teachings with new communities by supporting Brave with a donation of any amount. Our mission is to save, mature, and multiply Brave disciples of Jesus Christ by boldly sharing the truth of God's Word. And as we continue producing and distributing these radio programs to reach new listeners, we're thankful for fellow believers like you willing to give what they can to support this effort. You can make a donation of any amount today at bravemedia.online. Click the Donate tab. Again, that's bravemedia.online. Or call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can send a check in the mail. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And we'd like to invite you to join us for worship this weekend at Brave Church. If you're in the Denver area, visit us in person at either of our two campuses in Englewood or Westminster. Regardless of where you're listening from, you can always join us through our live stream as well. For details about this weekend, head to bravemedia.online, and at the bottom of our homepage, click the button labeled Brave Church. If you have questions or comments to share with Pastor Jeff, maybe a story of how this ministry has impacted you, reach out today by email, hello@bravechurch.co. That's all our time for now. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Join us tomorrow for the next part of Pastor Jeff's timely message, Benefits of Submission. That's coming up next time, right here on Brave with Pastor Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.